She's feisty, she's funny, and she tells it like it is. Get ready for Empower Readings with Corby Mitlide. What are your opportunities right now? What are the possibilities? Ask Corby and cross the bridge from fear to fearlessness and fly. Here's your host, Corby Mitlide.
Good evening, or as we say in New York, hello there, baby. It was a wonderful, wonderful day. I have to say, first of all, thank you, Belle Salisbury, for doing Belle Esprit magazine, because if you hadn't, I might not have met Ali Cheslick. I might have not met Sheree Alexagramis, Sherita Starr. And these two ladies and I took over Schenectady, New York today. Divas times three. Oh, baby, it was wonderful. We had a blast. Yes, Ma Feathers here is quite sober. You're good. You know, the drinks were a few hours ago. But anyway, that's a shout out to Belle Salisbury. Thank you, my dear. The magazine has done more than you know. And with that magazine, I also got to meet my wonderful guest for this evening, John Fortuna. John, are you with us?
I think so.
You think so? Okay. John, I mean, anyone whose views are like political views, everyone is right. Everyone's entitled to their opinion, but don't tell me I'm wrong either. My kind of guy. So, John, you've been reading since, I think, what, age six?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Basically,
much to the
you
chagrin
could barely
of my
pick
family,
up a
but yeah. My family
what?
Hasn't been really
what?
Happy with it.
Were cards the tools of the devil down there or what?
Well, kind of. I mean, you know, here goes the family legend about it, which was somehow a set of cards, fortune-telling cards, got into the house. When I was a kid, I was going through my parents' stuff. Don't ask me why, because I was six. And I found these cards, immediately took the cards, ran to my room, and so then I would just take them out and just start creating stories. Well, then stories started to be attached to people that I knew or people that my family knew. And then I was able to say, hey, you know, then I'd start seeing things or notice things. And again, it wasn't, you know, as a child, you really don't have that filter of what's appropriate to say, what's not appropriate to say. But nobody will claim that it was their deck of cards to start with. So, you know, I think I would say things that were, the one I always remember was when I was a kid, somebody came over to see my parents. They had brought their wife, and I asked them where their other wife was. And they said, well, what do you mean? They said, well, you know, that other woman that you're with, that blonde. You know, and a few months later, they got separated and ended up in divorce because, you know, sure enough, he was having an affair with a blonde woman. So, you know, I didn't know. You know, I didn't. I just thought it was, you know, that everybody knew. But again, you know, I would just take those cards, create those stories. I actually still have that deck of cards. They're kind of sitting in front of me. I don't use them anymore. They're not what I would say a traditional tarot deck, but they were. I think it was a gypsy witch fortune telling deck.
I remember that one.
Yeah, and they have like these really cool little pictures on them. They kind of look like a regular deck of cards, but each of them has like a picture and then a description. So they were really easy to, you know, as I got older, to read the descriptions because they were right there on the cards. And you know, people say, well, you know, what certification and stuff do you have? I said, well, you know, I kind of taught myself. You know, and I do my own spreads and stuff like that. Now, I have taken courses and stuff like that, but I always go back to what I know, which was how I've been doing it most of my life. You know, that I use the cards, I see through them like I would see through a window or a door, and I just, you know, it's more of a ritual that I even bring out my cards. I just did a live event this past weekend, which was horrible. I won't even get into it.
Oh, come on. Spill the dirt.
Horrible.
You don't say that and not share.
You know, when you go into an event, and you've done tons more than I ever have, but when you go into an event and then the big Jumbotron outside has the wrong dates, you know it's not going to be a good weekend. And so, It was bad. And you know, I've sent messages to the people, you know, the people that ran it, and of course they're not getting back with me, because I said, you know, you really need to be refunding some of my money on that, because it was just sad. I think I did like 8 readings over 2 days, if you can imagine that. And that was just the beginning. I mean, it was just bad. I mean, the whole thing was just bad. But you know, this time I brought, you know, because I do let people kind of shuffle my cards. But this time, you know, someone had said something to me, because my cards are so old looking. They're like, oh, you know, those look real well used. So now I put a thing of hand sanitizer next to the cards, that they can sanitize their hands.
You think you're being funny. Think of it. You know, what happens? Kindergarten teachers come home with all of the galloping crud that the little kids bring in. And it's the same thing when we do shows. I had 2 cases. One was the flu and the other was just normal galloping crud. And I'm never sick. But this year it was going around. And all I'm going to say, John, about the show, we are not going to mention the name of the show on the air because we're very polite, blah, blah, blah. But mm-hmm. I will tell you that that group did 2 shows in the East. They did 1 in Syracuse and they did 1 on Long Island. And I read 6 at one and 3 at the other. And they have never been back to the East. So I would like so not recommend them.
Right.
Later, you want to talk to my feathers, I'll tell you. All the good shows.
Yeah, I lost money on it, but again, the energy was just wrong. You know, when you walk in and I felt exhausted, you know, I, the few people that showed up said, you know, I really felt like I needed to come and, you know, I saw your name and I wanted to come see you. So I guess I was there for that purpose, but it for sure wasn't to, you know, I don't know, pay my lodging for 2 days. I mean, it was just awful. And, you know, and again, it literally was in a building between horse stalls and at a fairgrounds. And I was like, oh my God, mm-hmm. I have got to do my research, because when you pulled in, it was like, oh my gosh, tell me this place isn't going to smell like horses. And sure enough, it did. So it was, it was awful. It was awful. So at any rate, so, you know, hand sanitizer, you know, the new tool of psychics.
Yes, it is. And for my people listening out there, you know, you do have to be a little picky about the shows you go to. Yes, some of the big shows can be a lot of fun. The biggest one that I do right now is the MUM Fair. That's Metaphysical Universal Ministries in Allentown, PA. And there are about 150 booths there, all kinds mm-hmm. of vendors and readers, etc. But it's always well attended, a couple of thousand people in 2 days, because it's advertised well, it's pristine, clean, and the people know what they will get. They're very careful about the people they invite in.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the smaller shows are better. My very favorite people in Canada are Ray Fauché and Stan Mallow. They're First Star Psychic Fairs. There are only 15 readers and maybe 4 vendors, but it's in an appropriately sized room. They advertise everywhere and Mars. And again, it's full. One mm-hmm. of the things, if you're out there and you are thinking about, do I want to try doing the fair circuit? Because there are a lot of people out there who say, do I want to maybe try doing this now? Because we who read publicly, there are more out there who don't. The most important thing you can do is talk to the promoters and see if you can talk to a few people who have done their shows. Otherwise, it's the equivalent of looking in the phone book and seeing readings by Madame Hoo-Ha and say, well, I guess I'll have that. Because there are some promoters that are fabulous and some who couldn't promote their way out of a box of Girl Scout cookies. It just doesn't work. Right. So I'm sorry. There I am being mop feathers, taking care of everybody. But it's the truth. Now, one of the things I wanted to talk to John about, because you will be able to have readings from both of us tonight, Kidlets. Remember, 248-809-3474. 248-809-3474. I want to talk about the difference between male and female readers. Not that one is better than the other, but we will read differently depending on life experience depending on how we come across. Now, there are certain readers who are what I call the Doreen Virtue School, who are very soft and sweet, and they'll talk to you about your angels, and their voices are very plummy. And then there are the readers like me and Allie, and, you know, we're just the New Yorkers, but hit you upside in the head. This is what your spirit guide wants to tell you. You can listen or not. We don't care, but this is what it is. Now, how do you see guy readers, John? You're one kind. What other kinds are there? Fill us in here.
What other guys? We were talking kind of what the difference between male and female readers are. And, you know, of course, I was kidding before the show and I said, you know, male readers can
do it well. And you all can't hear that. It's not radio safe. So just use your imagination. Tell them the clean stuff, John.
The clean stuff is that we can do it while we're standing, that we can do automatic writing in the snow. You know, there's many things that male readers can do that female readers.
Clean?
That's
seriously
clean. That's clean.
It's well, but when somebody comes in at a psychic fair and is looking at a male reader in a booth and a female reader in a booth, how will the readings differ? Because they do.
And I think a lot of it is perspective. You know, any reader is going to bring in everything that they are, meaning how they were brought up, their culture, their life experiences, all of those sorts of things. It would be hard to generalize what a male or female reader would do other than to say, what's the difference between a man and a woman anyway? And I think that it's just the way, it's the approach. Sometimes it's the expectations of what readers would, or people that you're reading for, would have. I think that for the most part, you know, and again, I can only speak for myself, I think that many male readers would come from a perspective of, you know, you kind of have that mother energy. I think that from my perspective, I would have more of a father energy of giving, you know, fatherly advice, you know, that sort of thing, but also from the perspective of how men think, because men think differently. And I think that's the one big difference, is that a woman can talk about how a woman thinks, but unless you're standing or have that, you know, past life experience that you remember how it is to be a man or how a man thinks, they do think differently. Again, not better, differently. And so sometimes, you know, I think that I can give a male's perspective, which is different than a female's perspective, you know, especially when we're talking about relationships. That's probably the biggest difference is how a man approaches a relationship as opposed to a woman. And so in giving that perspective of, yes, you know, men do have commitment issues, here's why, I think is useful both for men and women. You know, I agree.
Females, 90% of the questions are, is he the right guy? He doesn't appreciate me. It's very often it is whiny. I have to admit. What's the thing when guys come to you about a relationship? What's their thing?
Oh boy, you're really, why are these girls pursuing me? Why are they being so whiny? No, I think that it's mostly, I don't know how they're thinking. They seem to be, they seem to be very emotional around me. How do I handle that? But, you know, it's actually the females that come to me more often of saying, what is he thinking? And why is he acting that way? Because from a male's perspective, I can kind of, you know, summarize of saying, well, you know, here's why he's doing what he's doing. You know, I'm not afraid to say that, you know, we're idiots. You know, we don't see something when it's right in front of us. But if a male's coming to me, I'd be saying, look, this girl's obviously into you or whatever, or this is the way you need to do it. You know, kind of that bro talk. But, you know, most of the time it's females. Females are really fascinated by how men work, you know, and why they're working that way, because I think it helps them understand how to connect and to communicate. So I think that's the perspective I think male readers would bring.
And that when male readers come to me, it's the female, what's she thinking? I don't get it too. So that makes perfect sense. Now, we've got a caller. We have Heather from Cortland, New York. Heather, welcome to Empower Readings.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thanks. You have two readers here tonight. You have me and you have John. What is it that we can do for you?
Well, I'm interested in finding out about relationships with a significant other.
Just what we've been talking about. John,
yeah,
take it away, baby.
So is this a relationship you're in, or is this that you're having us look at? Okay.
Yes.
So obviously you have some questions about kind of where the relationship is, where is it going, you know, why doesn't he call? You know, why is he retreating from me? You know, men are really bad for that. And I'll tell you why. And again, this is kind of that male perspective, is men don't do well with emotions. And sometimes when we feel a lot, when we feel for a girl, we'll retreat because we don't know how to deal with those emotions. I don't know, it could be genetic, but it's also the way we're brought up. We're brought up not to deal with those kinds of emotions. And so we retreat because we don't know what else to do. So if you feel like, you know, if he's retreating or he's not communicating, or it just seems like, okay, where are we going with this relationship? You know, how long have you been with this guy?
Probably, I guess it's close to a year, but kind of on and off.
Right. So, yeah, where's the ring? You know, a year. You know, although I don't know what the rules are anymore. You know, what constitutes a long-term relationship, or when you go from that transition? I think quantum men have that question too. But I think that from his perspective, I think what I'm saying is not only general but specific to him, which is, You know, when you're saying on and off again, I think it's off again just about the time you think things are probably going well, you know, that it's like, okay, what happened here? You know, why did it get sabotaged? And I think mostly it's because he just doesn't get it or he doesn't know how to deal with it. But he's not really good at communicating it. So I feel the emotions are there. But I just think that instead of talking to you about it, or when things just, I don't know, I think that's, he doesn't know what the expectation is. I guess that's the best way I can say it. You can jump in anytime you want to, Corby. But I'm just seeing that.
What I generally do for this is I have a particular relationship read that is a 5-card that basically says where the two of you are, what the relationship is at the moment, what you need to do to make it work in the best possible outcome. So, Heather, I've got you. What's his first name?
Jerry.
Okay. Oh, my father's name. Therefore, he's a perfect man. My father was my best friend. Jerry is an auspicious name. All right, you. Honey, the card is the moon, and the card of the moon says, possible gossip around you. I want you to watch your back. Keep your mouth shut. Do not say anything that could be misconstrued. Also, something is going to come up from beneath the surface that's going to have to be handled quickly, quietly, and diplomatically, or there's going to be trouble. With him, the Tower card is coming. Now, the Tower card says crash, but not necessarily, you know, like Sarajevo or Afghanistan. Sometimes it's just the sports stadium that needs to be imploded to build something else that's better. So those two cards together tell me y'all got a little work to do, honey, because it ain't wonderful in Disneyland. The relationship card, it's the 7 of Cups. That's the fantasy card. That tells me that the two of you are not seeing each other with real perspective. You need to step back, erase the board, and then start a little fresh. You guys have been together for how long?
Close to a year.
Okay. I think that there may have been some misconstruing somewhere early when we're so much trying to make ourselves look good for each other. The card that tells you what you need to do is it's the 7 of rods. Now, that's the guy who's the king of the mountain, the fighting card. Somebody has to be the winner in this. Fighting is very healthy in a relationship, but not if it gets personal. No, if you loved me, you would. Okay?
Okay.
Best possible outcome. Now, the best possible outcome, it's actually a reversed card, which is good. This is the Five of Pentacles. And I always talk about the Five of Pentacles. Think about dancing on quicksand. Everything around you is shaky. But when it's reversed, I want you to think about tectonic plates in an earthquake, how after they've done their rumble, they come back into line and they steady. So you got a long way to go to make this, you know, happy white picket fence stuff. But if you're willing to work on it, if he's that important to you, then dig in your heels and do it. Because I think out of the work will come a more mature, more well-rounded relationship. Make sense?
Yep. Okay.
Good.
Yep. That makes
all right.
Sense. All right.
Wonderful.
Thank you,
thank you for being our first caller. You're welcome. And you know, John, that's a perfect example of the difference between readers.
Right.
Each of us was, I think, useful and on target, but we came to it from two different perspectives. And that's
right.
Why I never object if some people say, oh my God, she got three readings on the same day. Well, you know, if all three of us are saying the same thing, but coming at it from a different perspective, one of us is going to make the most sense, and maybe you'll let in the other information.
Right.
So the only time I say, don't keep going to everybody else is when I don't like her answer. I don't like her answer. Oh, you said the right thing to me. You're great. You're good. Not happening, kids. That's not helpful. It's a waste of your money. So how often have you seen that, John? Somebody just looking for the same answer, and you can tell that they're answer shopping.
Well, let's see. It's about 8 o'clock today, so probably two or three times. I think it happens often, or, you know, it becomes, well, this person said this. What do you think? And I always say it's like this. If there's a group of people and they see an event, let's say they see a car crash, you ask those, if there's 10 people, what they saw, they're going to give you 10 different stories. Well, that's exactly the way readers are. They're all looking at it from a different perspective with a different set of eyes and a different way of telling you the story. And so I always feel like there's a reader for everybody or readers for everybody, that you just kind of have to find the person that communicates or you connect with. It's not only skills, it's also personality. It's also what you're needing. Because like you said, you come from that kind of New York, I'm in your face, I'm telling you what to do, that kind of thing. But some of them may need a little bit more hand-holding, or some of them need a combination of the two. I think I fall somewhere in the middle. But I think that, you know, sometimes shopping early on, if you're going to use readers on a regular basis, would be important. So... just to find the right person, or, you know, the right question, because not every reader is good at every kind of question. We're not masters of everything. So, you know.
Oh, that we were, that our lives would look that good. All right, we're just about to go to break. This is Empower Readings with Corby Mitlide. I have the fabulous John Fortuna with me. And after the break, as always, we will be taking your calls and your readings at 248-809-3474. That's 248-809-3474. So stay tuned, and we will be right back with you for more Empower Readings.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Romaine. As a former model, I used to walk runways all over the world. Paris, Milan, New York. This is Salif Diarra. As a local health worker, he walks the pathways of his village in Mali, West Africa, every day to help treat severely ill children. Like many children in the developing world, those in Salif's village are threatened by common illnesses that kill millions worldwide. But unlike villages without a local health worker, the children in Salif's village get the care they need to survive. And even though you can't walk in his shoes, you can help him with his work. Help one, save many. See where the good goes at goodgoes.org and find out all the ways you can help get the good where it needs to go. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
Hey, parents! Finding it hard to communicate with kids in today's world of ever-changing slang?
Hi, son.
Excuse me?
Introducing the Communicizer. Just strap non-toxic Communicizer to your mouth and go from boring old man speak
Oh, you know, I'm here if you want to talk.
To 100% off the chain.
Text me whenever, yo.
It's that easy.
Thanks to Communicizer, I'm relevant to my kids again. I mean,
I'll fly, boo.
And now when you buy Communicizer, you get the auto-tune attachment free. Sounds so hip-hop, your kids will want to talk to you for hours.
I used to have to walk 3 miles uphill to school every morning, shorty.
I love you, Dad.
I love you too, son.
Communicizer is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it?
Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cat stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home. I'm home. And I love it. I'm home. I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Empower Readings with Corby Mitlide on Empower Radio. Your calls are next at 248-809-3474. 248-809-3474. Now, back to Corby Mitlide on Empower Radio.
Welcome back to Empower Readings. It's Corby Mitlide, and my wonderful guest is John Fortuna. We're doing readings for you tonight at 248-809-3474. That's 248-809-3474. And remember, this show is for your calls and your answers. So get on a horn, guys. John, how did you get involved with Bel Esprit Magazine? Bel Esprit Magazine, for all my people out there, is a fabulous online magazine stuffed with wonderful columnists and information, and John and I both write for it. I write the Wayback Machine column. John, what do you do?
you talked about, there's like three questions in here, so...
Pick one, anyone. I don't
care. Okay, all right. So, what do I do in there? I am writing a column. Basically, I call it the sideshow, which is looking at basically human nature and how it applies to readings and everything we do. So, like this month, I'll be last month I talked about compassion. This month, I'll be talking about why readers, and something you and I were talking about, right? Why readers charge what they do. Or why we charge at all. So that's kind of what I'm doing there.
Now, as far as why we charge what we do, it's one of my bugaboos. I will say charging $800 for 20 minutes the way, who's the big, Sylvia Brown. She's so big, her name went right out of my head, not enough room. She charges $800 for 20 minutes. Not really my cup of tea. At the same time, my charging $10 for a half an hour reading, the way they sometimes do in Jackson Square in New Orleans, isn't smart either. Because with me, you've got 40 years, you've got someone who does it full time, you've got 1,500 people a year that I do readings for. So that has to be worth a little more than Madam Hoo-Ha on the corner or the Russian gypsy who has the big neon palm in the window on the throughway says, you have a reading here, $10 is good, trust me. And then she hits you up for $400 for these blessed candles. So that's, you got it. Do we deserve to be paid? Absolutely. If we are professional, respectful, relatively on target. But yes. Millions of dollars? I wish, but right. No. We've got Kay from Mill City, Oregon. I don't think that we've had somebody from Oregon. So ding, ding. Kay, welcome to the show for our first
Hello.
Oregonian. How are you?
Fine.
What can we do for you?
Well, I'm calling in for the guest reading, if I understood the show correctly for tonight.
Yep. Yes. What we would like you to do is, since everybody gets like 4 or 5 minutes, to just say, I don't know, do something for me, is like handing us the encyclopedia and saying, can you speed read for me? So pick an area of
concern.
This is why I aspire to be Swami Beyondananda, who is the wonderful guy who's going to be on David Franklin Farkas after me. But take one of your subjects. It can be relationships, it can be finances, it can be my kids are driving me fresh thunga, whatever you want. What's the part of your life that's biting your butt most right now?
Finding a new career. I've left a 35-year-old relationship and been taking care of family. I've been out of the workaday world for many years doing things, caregiving for my family. And I moved from Southwest up to Oregon for a change of pace, and I just don't know if that was such a wise move. And I've been here 6 or 8 months now, and so it was. See, I don't even know what I'm asking you now. What to do?
It sounds like you're saying, did I kick myself in the butt with a move here, or am I in the right place for moving on?
Well, I guess. Yes. Should I remain up in the Northwest, or should I go back to familiar territory? I guess is the best way to put it. It's brand new for me up here. Everything's new.
Gotcha. Okay, John, hit it.
Well, my question is, does it have to be one or the other? It can be, because I would say that, yeah, I think you're going to be kind of stuck there, just because I don't think it's just the territory. I don't think it's just the geography of it. I think it's also you being able to connect to what you want to connect to, you know, as far as work. So, you know, as far as the move, you know, even if I always hate to see people move backwards. So, you know, if you move back down toward that area, it doesn't have to be necessarily in the, you were saying you came from the south, went north to Oregon. So going back, you don't necessarily have to go back to the same neighborhood or anything else. I just think that it's almost like plan C, which is going back to maybe the area, but not exactly where you were. I think that it just seems like there's going to be more opportunities because, okay, here's what I see from plan A, which is where you are right now. I always say there's a difference between a career and a job. A job is kind of what pays the bills, but you really hate waking up on Monday morning. The career is more something that you'll be happy at. I see that you could get a job up there, but I don't see you very happy with it. And I think it would only add to the, why am I here? Why did I come here? I wanted a new start. And I think the new start is there for you, but it just may need, you may just need to make one more step. And, you know, and again, it doesn't mean you have to go all the way back. It could just be moving to the next town, even in Oregon. But it seems like you're, where you are is not going to, you're not going to have as many options there. So and I think that, but it's also somewhere you're not going to be happy even beyond the job or even beyond the career. So.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of how I've been feeling. And I did come up here with a belief that I was being led up this way, but I've run it. It's just been, I think it was supposed to be a learning lesson for me. But that's just, I need to resolve this if I want to live more comfortably, you know, so. Okay, sounds good.
All right, I'm going to stick my oar in here a little bit, Kay. Before John even spoke, I pulled three sets of cards, one for staying up in Oregon, one for going back where you were, and a third for what if there is someplace else for you. What I got for you for staying where you are, Two of Swords. That's the woman who's blindfolded, has swords up to her neck, and feels like she's going to cut her own throat no matter what she does. So she just kind of holds still, waiting for things to happen. The middle card is the Six of Pentacles. Shows a man with one coin and two hands out. I have a feeling that expenses up there may become a little more than you thought they would. And the third card is the Five Pentacles, which, if you remember, that's the dancing on quicksand. Nothing is really solid. Going back to where you were, where did you come from originally that you moved up there?
Way down in New Mexico, the southwest corner of New Mexico, off of I-10.
Okay. Okay. Yep. This makes sense. Down there, the High Priestess. I mean, down there, you know who you are. You know what you can do. The Sun card, obviously, nice, happy, warm place, which Oregon so isn't. But the other card is the Seven of Cups again, which is the fantasy, because you'd have ways of viewing New Mexico that were no longer reality. Now, if you move someplace else, The first card is the Hierophant, which says it's what I call the government card. If you can play by their rules, you should be able to do very well. The middle card is the Five of Rods, and that is a card that can mean argument. It can mean a card of wrestling with ideas. Wherever this new place is, it's going to feel completely different from New Mexico or Oregon. So you may have to really work at settling in. But what I do like is the Eight of Pentacles, which is the final card. Notice the eight are several coins, and you'll have lots of things to work at, lots of things to choose, and it's also a card for learning and growing in education when I read it. I have a sense that there's somewhere else you just might be a little happier. So what I want to do is I want to invite you to give me just, you know, think of some cities that you might be interested in checking out, and let's see where the strength is. So if all of a sudden your Oregon place and the place in New Mexico fell off the earth and no longer existed, where would you go from here?
Well, one was Ashland. It's still in Oregon. Ashland, Oregon was the place I had thought I was going to be in by now, and the other would be down in back in the southwest Sedona area around Sedona or
no Sedona. Any place else?
Pardon? Any place else?
Any place else?
Not those were the ones I've been focusing on, and so no, I hadn't thought of any place else.
Colorado. It's nudging me for some reason, so I'm going to pull a Colorado card. All right, so we've got the three. Ashland, no. Seven of Swords, that's the sneaking around, lying, taking advantage card. I just don't think that the people that surrounded you there would be in your best interest, let's put it that way. Back around Sedona, ding, ding, ding. Ace of Pentacles, there's money there for you. Okay, now you said that you did home care. Do you have any kind of alternative healing ability? Because I have a feeling you could do home care down there, but being Sedona, you're going to have to add a little of the wiki-woo in, whether it's therapeutic touch or Reiki or something.
I have other skills. No, I really don't want to go into home care, but I have other skills.
Okay.
I'm good at networking information, computer background too.
Okay. That a lot of people need it down there, so that would work. And the other place that you mentioned, Colorado. Now, the card is the Fool, and as I remind people, the Fool doesn't mean the idiot card, it means the exuberant rookie. And the allegory is you've got this little kid, he's holding a rose, and he's got his stuff in a hobo bag, and he's got a dog, and He's about to walk off a cliff. The allegory is the rose is passion. If you follow what you're passionate about, carrying very little old baggage, that's the hobo stick, and only telling those who were loyal to you what you're doing, that's the dog, you can cross bridges and fly. I would encourage you, start casting your energy in the direction of Colorado. See if there is something there that might work for you, because I think there's going to be a surprise there that you hadn't considered but might look delicious. Okay?
Yeah. Colorado feels good. Yeah, and I am familiar with some areas up there, yes. Yes. Okay. Sounds good. Great. Feels good.
All right.
All right.
Glad to help.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. John, where are people going to find you since you don't live on this radio show all the time? Because I know there are going to be people who will think, oh, a real guide reader. Oh, I'd rather have that. Yes. Websites and phone numbers and laundry lists and anything you want to give us.
Goodness gracious. The best way of reaching me is www.advisorandreader.com. Or you can email me at advisorandreader@gmail.com. So if you remember advisor and reader, you should pretty much find me. That's probably the best way to find me. I am on
Facebook. And that's advisor and A-N-D reader?
Yes, advisor.
The word spelled out. Good.
Yes.
.com. Okay. And yes, we are all on Facebook along with Ralph the Wonder Dog. So look for John Fortuna on Facebook. Yes?
Yes.
You can always find him over at Bellesprit Magazine. That's Bellesprit. Mm-hmm. Where else can we find you, John? And your radio show. Good Lord, how could we not mention that? Plug it. Are they going to find you on the radio?
Hey, and I have to appreciate that because there are some stations where I've had gag orders that I can't mention that I do a radio show to, so thank you. I actually have a radio show after this on Wednesdays and Thursdays. I have a radio show on Achieve Radio, and that's what he said. And then on Tuesdays, that's the big one that I'm enjoying right now is the Bellesprit Facets of Enlightenment, and that is every week that I'm showcasing a different Bellesprit Diamond Psychic. And we do, you know, kind of a fun interview, and then the second hour that we, you know, we do some readings, but a little bit different than I'm more like a commentator about how they do the readings and stuff. So, you know, it humanizes the readers. It gets to, you get to know them a little bit differently than you do in some shows, and
yes.
Also getting their style. So it's just something that I felt like, you know, just to do something different, a little bit different, and to showcase people, because in that show, I don't do any readings. I'm just more of the MC. So, but that's on Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock Eastern.
So, you can always find these on Facebook. Often I will mention those kind of things, or people will tag me so it'll appear on my page. The thing I want to remind people is I am not the only reader. And I will encourage you to go out, have a reading with John, have a reading with Belle, have a reading with Allie, have a reading with Sharita, have a reading with anybody who appears legitimate and you get a good feel for, because we are not right for everybody. The people who need little bitty hand holdings, no, they're not going to come to me. People who want the Kubrick upside the head, they're my babies. And wonderful shows like John's, where each week there is a new, what I call an A-lister psychic, someone who is good, who has a rep. You get to see, how are we different? What are our specialties? Because some people do animals, and some people do healing, and some people do dead people. It's all different. And you get a little taste if you can get on, and you can have a reading. You saw John and I read totally differently, but came very much to the same conclusions. You're going to get a feel for the kind of intuitive you like, and you're going to discover people that you would not discover if all you did was work with the people that are around you. John is in Winston-Salem. If you live up here in the wilds of Schoharie County, you wouldn't run into him at the Price Chopper. But now you've heard him on my show, and you may say, dang, that's the guy that I want to read me. So I encourage you, go listen to intuitive radios. The Achieve Radio is the one that Allie's on and the one that John is on. I'm here at Empower. There are good internet radio stations. Don't give me the excuse, I just don't get it on my radio. You get it on your computer. So go do it. Anything that I missed in that conflagration there, John?
No, I think that pretty much covers it, just because, you know, and that's why, you know, when I see the competition that some, you know, you asked me earlier, how did I end up with Bell Esprit? It was because of a nasty competition, and then I just started talking to people, and, you know, you can, as psychics, we can connect the dots of how we end up where we do, and we do that for other people, but I couldn't connect the dots on how I'm here right now, and it was because of some negativity, but in the end, it was because I got to meet people like you and Allie and many of other people got associated with Bell Esprit. And, but I guess my point is that how many people are on this planet? How many people are doing readings? There are plenty for everybody. And not, you know, look, if you go to a doctor, I mean, you may not pick the same, you know, the first doctor that you meet. There are some doctors that you connect with, some that you don't. It's like readers are the same way. And, but I mean, again, you know, what I was saying before the break was each of us kind of have specialties in the areas that we read. You know, you wouldn't necessarily have somebody that's not only a relation expert, but also a master of finances from Wall Street, you know, all in the same person. So there's people that do certain areas better. And I, you know, I always encourage readers to play to their strengths, because there are different kinds of questions, different kinds of readings that you need from time to time. There are different kinds of specialists in medicine. There are different kinds of lawyers. You know, it just, you know, they're all doctors and lawyers, but they all have their specialties. And so, yeah, you know, get what you need for what you need. I guess I have now taken over Corby's show. So.
No, you haven't. No, you haven't. The cat was chewing on the mic, and I had to turn it off. You're going to hear. Anyway, what I was about to say, see, they're all laughing, I think. What I was about to say is I also encourage you out there in Radio Land, check and see if you've got some of your own knowing. We love being there for you. We absolutely do. But, as I'm very fond of saying, we may hand you the toolbox, but we're not the repairmen. We can show you where you can go, but you have to make the decisions. And the more you can start trusting your own knowing, you can start listening to yourself without arguing with your intuition. Number one, you will not have to come to us as often, and that's okay. There are 9 billion people in the world. Somebody else will come into line. And when you do come to see us, you're going to have a much better idea of what you want to ask. So your questions will be, if you will, of a higher caliber. You'll be able to take the information in more clearly. And frankly, you might get to ask more stuff in the session because you're not stuck on this one thing. I know that in a half an hour at a show, people will ask me relationships, and then we'll do finances, and then we'll look at the families, and they might want to talk to one of their dead people, and. I do readings so often, I've learned how to be sharp, fast, and practical. Mm-hmm. And you might as well get as much information as possible. When you've done some of your own mental and emotional homework, then you don't have to have us read the book cover to cover. We can hand you some cliff notes and you go and finish the book. So that's one of the reasons you will always hear me say, you can do what we do. John, if you were going to recommend, with that idea in mind, that they all want to learn to do what we do, one book that is good for them, whether it's on tarot or learning to channel or whatever, what's the book that you would recommend?
I'm going to be shameless on this one. I just wrote a book called Get Into It, which is basically doing your intuition. So, and I really feel like everybody has intuition, that it's just a matter of them learning to hear that voice or pay attention to that voice. You know, I've been doing it, you know, since I was a kid, but again, it was a skill that I developed early, and then I learned what that sound or that voice or that intuition felt and sounded like. And so you can find a link to the book on my site, but because I really felt the same way, that, you know, when I wrote the book, I was like, you know, I'm going to be putting myself out of business here, But I really didn't feel that way because I think that everybody has intuition. You know, I just, it was one of the things I did at this conference last weekend was, I talked about the fact that, you know, we all have these skills that were probably developed many generations ago as a way to protect ourselves. We are able to see or sense things that we really couldn't, you know, that we knew things were going to happen, but it was to protect us. And now we can use those same skills to know when the right person's coming, when we should be worried at work or not worried at work, when we just know there's going to be money there for, you know, that broken refrigerator, those sorts of things. So so that's, you know, like I said, shameless plug. You just opened
it up. Hey, shameless is good. Shameless is good. So, and the book is called Get Into It by John Fortune.
Yeah. Yes. I-N-T-U-I-T. So like intuition.
Oh, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, see?
Round to it.
Yeah.
Yep, it is. All right. John, it has been so much fun having you on this. We will, and I will be playing with you on the Bel Esprit show in July.
Yes.
So I know that you've got a show at 9, so you probably need to skedaddle. But thank you for squeezing us into your busy schedule.
Oh, you said
for everybody.
I enjoyed it. I'm really glad I was able to make it, and I would love to do it again.
Good.
Okay.
Great, you got it. For everyone,
well,
yes. For everyone else out there, we'll be on next week with a special surprise guest. Remember that if you need to find me in the meantime, you can go to my website, firethroughspirit.com. You can also find me on Facebook as Corby Midlide or Fire Through Spirit or White Raven Webinars. And remember, get your friends listening because it is the questions that you give us that really make the show. So many times we've been on a subject, but somebody calls with one particular question, we do the reading, and it sparks a whole fascinating conversation. So I may be the host, but you guys are the treasure. So be sure to bring your friends every week, Thursdays, 8 o'clock, for Empower Reading. So until then, have an absolutely fabulous week. Remember that your job in life is to cross the bridge from fear to fearlessness and fly. See you then.